We're joined by a legal analyst from Sports Illustrated. He's also the associate dean of the UNH School of Law. He's the editor of the Oxford University Handbook of American Sports Law, the author of Court Justice, the industry or the inside story of my battle against the NCAA with Ed O'Bannon. That book is available right now. Michael McCann joins me once again. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on, Michael. Lots to talk about. Let me start with the Supreme Court ruling yesterday that empowered each state to decide whether it's going to allow sports gambling. Before, Michael, we start getting into the implications of the decision, can you lay it out for me? What was the case that they were ruling on, and what were the arguments in that case?
Sure. So the case emanated from New Jersey, where New Jersey, under Governor Chris Christie, enacted a law that would allow New Jersey to offer sports betting. It would allow racetracks and other entities in the state to basically get licenses to let people bet on sports. And that ran into a problem with federal law. There's a federal law that was effective until yesterday that banned sports betting in all but four states. One of the exceptions is Nevada, which, of course, has taken advantage of that exception. And New Jersey argued that it's unconstitutional, that the federal government shouldn't have the power to tell states, to use New Jersey's language, commandeer states to prohibit sports betting. The federal government and also pro leagues in the NCAA argued this isn't about commandeering. This is an inherent power of the federal government. The government has the right to look at issues of interstate commerce. And those were the key arguments. The Supreme Court said, you're wrong, federal government. You can't tell states what to do on this issue. If states want to offer sports betting, there's nothing in the Constitution that stops that. And New Jersey won. And this is a big decision because lower courts had disagreed. Lower courts had ruled with the federal government. The Supreme Court said, no, federal government is wrong. So, you know, Governor Christie's obviously, former Governor Christie has been maligned in many ways. But on this issue, he prevailed. And this was a big win for him, certainly.
Michael McCann joining us. So, Michael, why is that? New Jersey lost this case at every round until they reached the Supreme Court. Why was that? And why did the Supreme Court come to a different decision?
You know, part of it, Jim, is the ideology of the justices on the Supreme Court. They believe in something called the anti-commandeering doctrine, the idea that the federal government shouldn't have the right to tell states what to do if there isn't a clear constitutional mandate that allows the federal government to do that. That this doctrine is sort of limiting the scope of federal authority, and the lower courts didn't embrace it to the same degree because they focused on other aspects of the Constitution, specifically the Commerce Clause, which allows the federal government to say, look, if you and I do a contract and you're in one state and I'm in another, the federal government has some authority there because it's interstate. Whereas the Supreme Court justices said basically, you know, that's reaching too far, that the federal government shouldn't have that kind of authority. It's really a state issue, and there's nowhere in the Constitution that says explicitly the federal government had this power. So it really kind of comes down to, you know, what do you think is the appropriate role of the federal government? Where does the Constitution sort of put in checks and balances on that? And the Supreme Court justices viewed it in a different way.
Michael McCann joining us. So, Michael, privately, how do you think each professional league reacted to the news of that decision?
So I think privately they probably liked it, and obviously publicly they lost, right? So they have to express disappointment and say, you know, we're disappointed we lost the case. But privately, I'm sure they view this as an opportunity. Some of the leagues, especially the NBA, have really already embraced it, and the leagues knew this was going to come as well. This was no surprise, the decision. They've had months to plan for it, and the leagues have already taken steps. For instance, the NBA has argued that if states decide to – any state that – permit sports betting should ensure that leagues get what's called an integrity fee. The integrity fee is basically a maximum 1% cut on what on an amount of money that's generated on sports betting in a state should go to the leagues, because the leagues say we need to monitor our games to make sure that games aren't being thrown, that players aren't being bought off, that referees, you know, we know this was an issue in the NBA, aren't being bought off, that we should get a cut. And obviously, some of the states and gambling operators are going to reject that, but this could be a lot of money for the leagues, and also, you know, leagues could maybe get directly involved with sports betting. I mean, we don't know how states are going to look at who gets a license. It could be a pretty broad scope of entities.
Michael McCann joining us. I was going to say, Michael, that 1% number, they may or may not get that number, but when we're talking about, quote, integrity fees, how much money are we talking about?
I mean, we could be talking about billions of dollars, right? Because, I mean, this industry, we've seen all different estimates of how much this industry is worth and what will be the total value. But we have seen literally the billions tossed around, and I have a feeling this is going to be a bonanza in terms of money. And we're going to see a rush to get into this space. We're going to see lobbying efforts in different states. We've already seen it happen, but it's going to be intensified with the Supreme Court ruling, where you're going to see gambling operators lobbying, saying we should be able to get licenses in this state. And the leagues are going to be right there saying, look, okay, we'll support it if we get our integrity fees. And this is money that's not just going to help the owners. It's going to help the players, too. The NBA is going to share the revenue with the players. So the players could end up getting more basketball-related income. This could mean an expansion of the salary cap. I mean, there are all sorts of ways this could affect not just people betting on sports, but just fans in general.
We were talking to Michael McCann. You know, Michael, there have been a number of incidents over the years, from the Black Sox scandal to Tim Donaghy, where there's been corruption due to gambling. How big of a concern is that right now, and how will the leagues look to minimize that risk?
You know, Jim, it's certainly a concern, but I don't know if this Supreme Court decision changes the concern, right? This has taken place for years. It's been illegal, and it still happened. I don't know if making it legal makes it more likely to happen. I think if people want to try to pay off a referee or an athlete or a coach or a manager, I don't think they're going to be deterred or incentivized by the law. They're going to know it's criminal to do that, and if they're either going to do it or they're not. I think, in a way, maybe legalizing sports betting creates greater transparency. It allows state governments an opportunity to collect its cut, if you will, of the revenue. So they're going to have an incentive to ensure that tax dollars are being obtained through this mechanism, so that, you know, money that could be used for schools and other things. Maybe this will increase enforcement mechanisms. Maybe this will make the state governments more interested in ensuring that these activities don't happen. And if integrity fees are paid, leagues then would have a greater financial wherewithal to do the same. So I think these issues remain in place, but I don't know if the Supreme Court's decision really changes the dynamics.
So what about the public at large? I mean, you made the point that there may also be public health consequences, given to the fact that 3% of Americans have significant gambling addictions. If there's anything, or is there anything that can be done to address the overall context of more gambling and more options to gamble, and how concerning is that?
Yeah, Jim, I think this is a part of the story that hasn't gotten a lot of attention because people are sort of caught up with the Supreme Court decision and the thought of sports betting being more accessible. But we know that the House usually wins with betting, right? This is how gambling entities make money. And we know that people will bet on sports and lose, and there will be stories of people that lose everything. I mean, this is a narrative that's played out for many years. And I have a feeling that when states are considering laws related to legalizing sports betting, that part of the story is going to get more attention, and some will be swayed by that. So what can states do? They can certainly set up funds. So maybe some of the money that's generated through sports betting goes towards public health to help out those who have gambling addictions. There are ways of trying to mitigate the problem, but there's no question that it will be a public health issue. I don't know if that's going to sway state legislatures to not pass it, but I do think it will come up.
In a final thought, we talked about professional leagues and their reaction. What about the NCAA? Behind the scenes, how do you think the NCAA is reacting to this?
I think the NCAA is probably a lot more cautious about this than the pro leagues. And I have a feeling their efforts are going to be geared towards lobbying state houses and telling them basically, look, if you want to authorize sports betting, fine, limit it to pro sports. Make sure that you don't allow gambling operators to get licenses that permit betting on college games or high school games or Olympics. I mean, there are all sorts of levels to this. So I have a feeling that they're probably worried a little bit about the professionalization of sports betting, that it could feed into the argument that college sports are really similar to pro sports and that athletes ought to be compensated in some way. And then, of course, there's the ongoing issue, and it's been in place for years, that, you know, could college athletes be bought off? That it's one thing to try to persuade a millionaire pro athlete to throw a game. That's going to be hard to do, perhaps, because he's already making a lot of money. But a college athlete that doesn't have a lot of money, you know, maybe they're more susceptible. So I'm sure the NCAA is worried about that.
I would think so. He's a legal analyst for Sports Illustrated, the associate dean of the UNH School of Law, Michael McCann. Michael, great to have you back, and I always appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.